All right, Steve Phillips will join us here in a moment. Jays and taking on the Athletics tonight, late game tonight. So you got that to look forward to. Prior to it, I think most people are going to be watching Rangers Capitals tonight if you have access to that game. And it's been a wild 48 hours in New York. Today they fired their president, John Davidson, who's got a long history with that organization. Fired their GM, Jeff Gorton, who I think has done a pretty good job, all things considered. And Chris Drury has been inserted already. I don't think
JD's one of those guys, Brian, that just when they get that position, he's a heavy hitter in New York, and they seem like they don't ever leave that post.
Yeah. Considering Sather had it for 20 years, you know, more or less, like was in. I figured that was going to happen with Davidson. You know, like, okay, if Gorton's out and Drury's in, that's one thing, but Davidson gone too is surprising. And, you know, I think people are wondering if Mark Messier is angling to get in there as well. He's already gone on the record on ESPN
Those
Radio.
Those senior management people in the New York areas, you know how they can do silly things.
Oh, they absolutely can. They get a little bit carried away down there. And it's been a wild scene in New York for the past 48 hours, including Houston at the Bronx last night and their reaction with fans in the stands. And you knew it was coming. And Houston just cannot accept it. They cannot accept the that they're still a hated team, and they will be for a long, long time. And to chat about it here is a longtime MLB executive, former GM down in New York, and our TSN MLB analyst, Steve Phillips. What's up, Steve?
Listen, I'm breaking out in hives, and I'm looking over my shoulder concerned that somebody's coming to get me to terminate me in my positions here. Like, I'm a little worried. Everybody's getting fired in the New York area these days.
It's a wild scene. It is a wild scene down there. It's loud, too, right? And I don't think the hockey team gets a ton of attention necessarily, but I'm sure the Rangers have put themselves on the front page with what's happened the last 48 hours. And yeah, I mean, I guess you can speak to it, though. When you're in a big seat in a town like New York, you know people want that job.
Yeah. Like, what's it like when the heat cranks up, Steve, in that market?
Oh, I mean, it's miserable, honestly. Like, you know, I knew at some point I was a dead man walking, you know, like the movie. And, you know, when a writer wrote that Mets fans want Phillips' head on a pike on the Triborough Bridge, I had a feeling I was probably in trouble at that point. And you know, the thing is, like, this writer wrote that, and I went to him and I said, dude, you can't do that. I've got, like, I literally had death threats to me. I had this guy who kept showing up at the stadium, and he was not mentally well, and he was like, he wanted money from me because I was giving money to all the players. He thought I had money to give. He wanted money from me. And so the first couple of times he showed up, he was okay and calm. He gave his name and all his information. The next time he came, he started making threats. He was really ugly making threats, and they tried to grab him. And he took off running, and he had a bag with him, and they left the bag behind. And, you know, they opened up the bag, and in the bag was a Bible with a lot of things underlined. And, you know, they were concerned because, you know, if he was hearing voices, you know, sometimes that can get scary. And so they took out a restraining order against this guy. And you know, they contacted his family, and, you know, the media did. And they just said that he's not mentally well. But I had another guy whose psychiatrist called me and said that he was a threat to my well-being, that she could violate his trust because of the threat that had been made. And so Major League Baseball security had to follow a guy. I had to have an alias. I couldn't go on the field when we went on road trips to Philadelphia and Montreal. And the Major League Baseball security followed him and told me, well, we think that he's probably not a real threat to you, but he might come here and hurt himself in front of you. And I'm like, I would get in my car after the game, and I ended up having to park in the player parking lot because I was outside the executive lot, and people were, you know, assaulting me and confronting me on my way to the car. And then when I'd get in the player lot and I'd get in my car, people would be waiting outside. They, you know, people would want to wait and see players. They'd start chasing my car. And if traffic was backed up, they're banging on the window of my car. They would tell me, security, don't take the same route home every day and make sure you're checking to make sure you're not followed. Like that, this was the GM job in New York. I had a guy that called up and said that he hoped that I'd die a slow, painful death, and if he ever saw me, he'd run me off the road with me and my family, and It's crazy. I mean, it literally, you know, we talk about the fanatics and the fans. It was that crazy.
Steve, speaking of the GM and the responsibility, you got to bring in big time talent. The Jays have done that, but the Springer thing is getting a little bit weird. I mean, can he play? Can't he play? When this first happened, I said, whenever he thinks he is healthy, he should take 7 days after that. But it's just doesn't. It's got a bad vibe, man. How would you have handled this situation?
Yeah. So the way I always handled these issues was I let the doctors make the decisions, so that if something went wrong, it wasn't me. Because yeah. In New York, if I'm the one making that decision and this is going on, I'm getting destroyed.
Yeah, but this did go wrong, though, didn't it, Steve?
Right.
It's like the guy came back, and now he's not playing again. So I would consider that as gone wrong.
Yeah, it has. Right. And so, but if it did, it would be the medical staff that would have to answer the questions about it, not the general manager. Now, you know, George, here's what I know. Players want to play. Like, they don't want to sit and watch. They want to play. And so if Springer is capable, he'll get in there. He's always shown himself to be a tough guy, willing to play when he's hurt. The reality is he's not dealing with leg fatigue right now. He tweaked his quad again in the game on Saturday. You know, when he ran out the ground ball, he grabbed it. You don't grab it because your leg's tired. You grab it because something pulled and you felt the pain of it. And I know he hit the two home runs after, but at that point you've got adrenaline running. You're hot. You know, your body's hot. And it's when it cools down again is when you start to feel it the next day. And so they're going to have to monitor him and look. And I know it feels like there's so many of these issues going on with the Blue Jays. The Milwaukee Brewers just did it with Christian Yelich. They activated him after being out for 3 weeks with a bad back. They activated him. He got two hits in the game, and they put him back on the injured list the next day after 1 day of being active. And, you know, you gauge it based upon what the player says. You gauge it on the diagnostics. You gauge it upon the strength and upon the testing and watching him work out, but it's impossible to prepare by replicating game bursts that players do. And clearly, you know, it gave out on him, and he's going to have to either play through it with it being a nuisance, or he's going to have to rest it, and it could be another 3 weeks before it's completely settled down again.
Absolutely, and they've been dealing with the injury bug all year. Every team does it, but it seems almost more extreme with the Jays, because now that they've come out with more news, we know that Alejandro Kirk is done for a while. Like, he's going to be out likely for a month, month and a half, and they've called up Reese McGuire, which was just a matter of time until they were going to call him up. They've optioned Riley Adams down, which means Danny Jansen's going to go a ton, and again, his bat is still... There's some issues there, needless to say. And Julian Merriweather has been shifted to the 60-day IL. So that drops him out of the lineup until mid-June at the earliest. And now Springer's, you know, up and down day-to-day, and who knows what's going to happen with him. I mean, those are three pretty significant pieces. Merriweather was a cowbell at the back end of the bullpen who was supposed to give them innings if he was healthy and give them quality stuff. That debut he made, you know, opening day was just exceptional. And Kirk was coming alive. You know, he had two home runs on Friday. Now he's out. And again, with Springer, we don't know. I mean, these are pretty significant pieces that the Jays are going to have to deal with as non-options for quite some time, to say nothing of Nate Pearson, who did make his debut with the minor in Triple-A last night. But I don't get the impression like he's that close to returning. They got to stretch him out and build him back up again, Steve.
Yeah, so he's up to 75 pitches, so it shouldn't take too much longer for him. But look, the Milwaukee Brewers have 17 players on the injured list. The Chicago White Sox lost Eloy Jimenez in left field and Luis Robert in center field. And Robert's going to be out for quite possibly 3 or 4 months right now. And Jimenez, you know, not back till September either. You know, Juan Soto's been out with the Washington Nationals. And it is rampant this year. Oblique strains are the things that are, they're the new injury, right? It used to be, you know, quads and hamstrings. The oblique strains are the ones. And it's almost as if we're overtraining the core, that we've got guys wound so tightly that maybe it's too tightly, and it's easy to tweak when it's wired that tight. And so, I think every team's dealing with it. It feels like it's because, you know, we focus a lot on the Blue Jays. It feels like it's a lot about what's going on with them, but everybody is dealing with it. But these are key pieces, and what it means is that the young core, Biggio and Gurriel, got to get it going, man.
Yeah, they
to
do.
To go with Bichette and Guerrero, because they can't rely upon the other guys. Now, it's not going to be, you know, and here's the thing. Grichuk started the season hot, and what it means is he's got that period of time where it almost looks like he goes blind for a period of time, where he just, like, he just, the strike zone becomes evasive and elusive. He ends up swinging and, and missing a lot. And so it's going to have to be, Biggio has to get it going in Gurriel. Those two guys, along with Bichette and Guerrero, have to start carrying the load. Then Teoscar is going to heat up a little bit as he gets more at-bats under his belt. And so, you know, they still have a core that can do it, but they're going to have to pitch a little better than they thought they would, because they're not going to have the same kind of offense right now. And the question is, do they have the personnel to do it? The good news is, everybody is sort of spinning in their tracks a little bit. You know, the Red Sox come back down to earth some. The Yankees are starting to heat up. And I got to tell you, the thing about the Yankees, you mentioned it, the Astros, the best thing for the Yankees fans just lifted the Yankees out of the hole. Because when you're struggling, you get so lost in your own head that you compete against yourself instead of the other team. And the fans and what they did to the Astros yesterday and what they're going to do again today, the fans are competing against the Astros, and they're bringing the Yankees with them. And so the Yankees are going to start to heat up a bit right now. And so the Blue Jays better do what they need to do to keep pace, because New York is playing better baseball, and it's going to start to gather some momentum for them.
Yep, they've won four in a row. Even Tampa's won a few in a row now. And, you know, the Rays are always the forgotten team in the division. And yet they're plugging along around 500, and I expect that they'll probably remain around there, but they're going to be a team to be reckoned with. So the Jays got to make sure they solidify this. You know, as for that scene at Yankee Stadium last night, it's not a packed house based on COVID rules, but they went after Houston, and the Astros, you know, they seem to be in a position where they don't feel like they should have to handle it, or maybe they can handle it. Is there one guy in particular, though, that you feel is the poster boy of the Houston cheating scandal fallout? Is it Altuve?
Well,
is it Bregman?
Yeah.
Correa? Who in particular for you?
Well, it's interesting. The Yankee fans, I watched that game a lot yesterday, and the Yankee fans went after Correa, Bregman, and Altuve. With Kyle Tucker in right field, they were chanting, "We don't know you," you know, so that they weren't going after him. Altuve's the guy they're going after, and, oh, by the way, he's the one most impacted emotionally by it. Bregman is like, bring it on, man. And so he hits a home run and quiets the stadium, right? He did like what he did homering in the game yesterday. Everybody quieted down. And like, that's the best comeback you can give. Altuve has that look on his face like he had at times last year.
I don't like this.
Yeah. Every swing and miss, he hung his head because but I'll tell you, the crowd sounded like a jam-packed stadium. They were rocking there yesterday. And Stanton's homer, you know, they were going nuts. It felt like a playoff game. It was 3-3 in the sixth, and it felt like a playoff game. The collision at the plate with both players laying down, Odor for the Yankees and the medical staff, and Aaron Boone out there tending to him, and then Martin Maldonado laying on his back, taken out at the plate, and his staff there. It was, you know, there's a lot of energy in those games right now. It's a lot of fun. And it's been amazing. We've had some playoff caliber energy without full stands. Dodgers, Padres got it, and Astros, Yankees brought it to us as well. And even Cubs, Dodgers a little bit in the doubleheader yesterday had that playoff feel to it.
Well, it's getting there south of the border. I guess it could happen in western New York as of June 1st as well. The Yankees or the Jays are moving up to Buffalo, and they're going to allow fans. They're going to sell tickets, and we'll see how that plays out, but they're back in action in Oakland tonight. It should be a fun one. Enjoy that, and we'll do it again soon. Thank you, Steve.
Okay, my pleasure, guys. Thanks.
Steve Phillips. Should point out also, Tanner Roark has cleared waivers and is now officially a free agent.
Would he have to have been paid out?
Oh, yeah, he's getting paid out. That's guaranteed contract.
Yep. Yeah. But that's it. They just...
I always find it amazing how that's like that's massive. That guy makes more than Austin Matthews.
Yeah.
$12 million.
$12 million.
14.
He made 14 last year, and I think 12 this year. I think it was. I want to say it was $26 million over 2 years.
And I find it bizarre how that just gets like if Austin Matthews was just designated for assignment, This guy's a $12 million player, and it's just, well, that's a screw-up. We'll make that disappear.
Well, that's the beauty of no salary
cap. Yeah, that's a major swing and miss, though, man.
Oh, it's an awful signing. I mean, that's on Chaparin Atkins. Like, the thing is, without a salary cap, fans are encouraging that. Like, that's encouraged. Please, move on. Pay him and make him not be here anymore.
Right.
But, so they don't have to answer to the fans. It was a swing and a miss and a bad one, clearly. Mm-hmm. And they did last year when he'd step out there every fifth day and be a gas can and get roped. But that's when you got to go up the chain and explain to ownership that we're paying this guy to not exist anymore with our franchise.
Right. Not $700K.
No.
Not $700K.
A lot of money. And there's no fans.
Sheets.
Like, they're spending a lot of money to upgrade, you know, parks down in Dunedin. They've upgraded the park in Buffalo. Sounds like they've done a lot of work to prepare for their arrival in June. And at some point, they're going to leave and come back to Toronto. So they're dumping money into that. They're not making money off revenue because they're not selling a lot of tickets. And if they are, the prices would be really cheap in Dunedin. Now you're paying this guy to disappear. You know,
it's
a lot of money going into this.
You're going to make mistakes. And, you know, probably in a candid moment, they'll say, hey, we thought we'd get more out of him. And unfortunately, we didn't. So we had to make him go away.
That's what it is. Not much you can do about it. Tanner Roark didn't pull his weight, but you know, he got his money and he's out of here. And he's not going to show up anywhere else. I can't imagine he will. Maybe a team will take a flyer on him. Maybe, you know, innings eater. Yeah. But I don't see it. I don't see it happening.